Oh.
It's like watching water boil.
Oh, yeah. Three. Time. Right. All right. Wow. It's September 13, 2018, and I called regular board meeting of Rowland Unified School District of Education to order. It's now 4:30. Dr. Mitchell.
Yes.
Roll call, please.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes?
None from staff.
Okay, I need a motion and to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, September 13, 2018.
I'll move.
Donna Friedman, move.
I'll second.
Ms. David Malkin, second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
None have been received.
Okay. Then we recess to closed session at 4:31. Let's go.
Wow, that was good.
Turn to open session 604.
Sorry.
Last room?
Yes.
We are honored to be led by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Santana High School student Susanna Chinchilla.
And I'm going to step in because Susanna's not here yet, so if you could please rise. Now put your right hand over your heart and ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In closed session, the Board of Education took the
following action. Number one, the Board of Education approved the settlement agreement with employee number TV2658861, which includes resignation from employment in the Rowland Unified School District on a motion by Don Freeman and a second by Angelina Pry. The vote of the board was as follows. Carrie C. Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Don Freeman, yes. David Malkin, yes. Angelina Pry, yes. So motion carries. Number two, the Board of Education took action to dismiss employee number JZ6793453 from all district employment effective September 14, 2018. On a motion by Don Freeman and a second by Angelina Pry, the vote of the board was as follows. Carrie C. Chen, yes. Lynn Ebenkamp, yes. Don Freeman, yes. David Malkin, yes. Angelina Price, motion carries. Number three, board recognition. Next, we will have the board recognition. I'm going to turn this to Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. And in turn, I'm going to turn it to Maddie Zamora. And if we can have the board come down to the front, because we'll be greeting some of our students.
Thank you. Tonight, we're excited to honor some of our students as they've received recognitions, and we have them here with us tonight. First, the Alexander Hamilton Scholar Award. The Alexander Hamilton Scholar Award is a competitive grant, a competitive award presented to 35 students nationally who have demonstrated academic excellence and superior community commitment to community service. Hamilton Scholars are high-achieving, service-oriented high school juniors who embody the Hamiltonian principles of character, leadership through service, and leadership through service. Tonight, we honor Desiree Cervantes from Nogales High School, who is the recipient of the 2018 National Alexander Hamilton Scholars Award. Desiree is a current IB student and a top 10 NHS student who is actively involved with campus clubs. Desiree is very passionate and resilient when it comes to social injustice in the United States. She strives for academic success in the hopes of motivating other people of color to break the cycle of oppression. As a Hamilton Scholar, Desiree will participate in a five-year program which began with a leadership weekend in New York this past summer. Please join me in congratulating Desiree Cervantes on her outstanding accomplishment. So let's give her a hand. Is there anyone here from the high school, any administrators who can join her? Next, we would like to honor our students who are recipients of the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America recognition. We have their advisor here, Tracy Taylor, so we do want to recognize her. She's not here. Oh, she's stuck. Okay, she's on her way. Yes. Thank you, Vicki. So more than 7,500 FCCLA student leaders, members, and advisors from across the country gathered in Georgia this summer at the National FCCLA Conference. The conference provided members with the opportunity to come together for energized learning while listening to inspiring speakers, expanding leadership skills, sharpening talents, and exploring career pathways. The theme of this year's conference was inspired by FCCLA, which inspired attendees to make the right choices and commit themselves to making a positive impact with their families, schools, and FCCLA chapters. This year, 46 California participants earned 11 gold medals, 31 silver medals, and 4 bronze medals. We are excited to announce that the Parliamentary Procedure Team, How to Run a Business Meeting, brought home a silver medal. The Environmental Ambassador Team also brought home a silver medal. These students addressed environmental issues that adversely impact human health and well-being. Please join me in congratulating our students for their award and recognition through the FCCLA Award. And so first we have the Parliamentary Procedure Team members. We have with us Brenda Kwong. Come on in. Cecilia Wang. Sean Lei Yu. She's not here tonight. Diane Chen. Jessica Chu. Not here tonight. Sophia Tay. Part of the Environmental Ambassador Team members are Nicole Zhang, Ashley Leung, and Wing Yi Z2. And I believe she's not here with us tonight. So let's give them another hand and congratulate them for their efforts.
Sorry, I'll get a seat.
Thanks for 4 minutes.
I don't know.
And then you need to do this one, because we haven't done this one yet.
Oh. Number three?
Yes, please.
Okay, they organize the thank you, Santana High School students and parents and the community members for providing the refreshments. So the next item is Santana High School Principal Greg Perez. Is he here?
Yep, he is here. He went out. So the students have left, but they haven't arrived here yet. So
Greg
just checked to see if the cars had pulled into the lot. So
just a few minutes? Yeah. Yeah, let's do the superintendent report first.
That'd be fine.
Okay, the next superintendent report by Dr. Mitchell.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. I wanted to share just a few things with our board and with our community that the Roland Heights Day at the L.A. County Fair is tomorrow, Friday, September 14th. The fair holds a parade at 5 p.m., and the following schools will be featured in the parade: Blandford Elementary, Jellick Elementary, Alvarado Intermediate, Roland High School, and the Nogales Noble Regiment. Also wanted to share that Roland Unified is committed to digital equity, and we are excited to announce the partnership with the Sprint 1 Million Project Foundation. This has allowed 461 high school students from Roland High School, Nogales High School, and Santana High School to receive free mobile hotspot devices for wireless internet access, so they have that access at home to be able to bring anytime learning for them and to assist them with their schoolwork, as well as being able to compete in a global environment. The District College Fair is September 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nogales High School. Families can meet with representatives from universities and colleges and attend informational workshops on financial aid, the University of California and Cal State information, and assistance on how to fill out applications. We've already received confirmation that Stanford, UC Davis, UC Berkeley, Harvard, UC San Diego, UC Irvine, Whittier, Pepperdine, and many more will be in attendance for our college fair, again, September 20th. I also wanted to share and quell a conversation that had come up at the Roland Heights Coordinating Council. Mr. Humphrey is a member of our audience this evening, as well as community members who may have been curious, to share that the Roland Unified School District has not engaged in any discussions or planning relating to a bond measure. We are still working with our 2012 Measure R bond. We've yet to sell Series C of that bond to meet the intended outcomes that we've shared with our community members. We are very appreciative of our community for the past, present, and future support of our school and district. But again, there are no plans, nor have there been any discussions regarding a future bond measure in the Roland Unified School District. Thank you.
Mr. Peirce, there are students here.
He's it. He's going for it.
Of course, Santana High School, Principal Greg Perez, and go ahead. Yeah, please. Yep.
Okay,
good evening, community, board members, cabinet, and Dr. Mitchell. It is my great honor to present a little spotlight on Santana High School, and I'll let you know all the great things that are going on at this time. So, we just recently had a door decoration contest that revolves around our teachers on college, the college they went to. So we're trying to make that connection with colleges in every way that we can so that our students are kind of made aware of what's going on and what's out there for them. In addition to that, we had our first monthly award ceremony where we recognized students.
For the great work that they have done, any attendance improvements, and we also had an ice cream social. You could see where our students found what was more important. They really enjoyed those paletas. And then we wanted to introduce everybody to the Back to School Night on October 18th to come check us out and see all of the great activities and all the work that we're doing there at the school. We are really making some great moves in instruction and with the culture of the school, and we invite you guys all out there to see that. Also, a great portion of our students are of Hispanic descent, so we want to recognize the great things and role models that are out there for our students of all cultures. We're going to start that with celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, and we'll be celebrating it starting September 15th through October 15th. We'll be recognizing certain characters or role models throughout history that our students could come to rely on and celebrate. We also are going to, again, when we talk about culture and changing what the perception and what's going on at Santana High School, we've incorporated some of the ASB things that are going on at the other comprehensive sites, such as Spirit Week, where kids could really be students and relax and have fun while they're at school. Now, that's not to say that we don't take our academics seriously. Our teachers now see themselves as continuous learners. When we ask them what instruction looks like and what we want our students to be able to do at the end of during the year, they came up with, at Santana, our goal is to inspire students to become risk takers and seeking the skills and flexibility to solve real world problems. Some of the work that we're doing at Santana High School, we still have our focus on the framework for teacher and learning. So while we're continuing with all the learning that we did last year, we're also focusing on successful learning for all students. We have some unique challenges at Santana High School. We don't have the huge departments that, 20 English teachers, 15 math teachers. Sometimes we have one math teacher and that's it. So when we look at data, we have to be a little creative about it. So what our teachers are doing is they're forming small groups, anywhere from 2 to 5 teachers. They're organizing their work around literacy standards. And then they will work together to discuss instructional strategies related to the standards, lessons, and they'll develop common assessments. As a group, teachers will then develop data protocols that they'll use to drive their instruction throughout the year. What makes Santana special? This sounds better coming from the students, but I'll share it with you. What they told me is they really enjoy the small class sizes. At the comprehensive sites, it's no fault of the high schools, but they're larger class sizes. So we're really thankful for the small class sizes and all the dedication that you put towards our school, because it does allow our students to get individual attention that they need. Some of the things that they said is everyone knows each other at Santana. There's no drama. They said, they leave the drama at the comprehensive sites or in the community. They come to school and it's their place to learn. They know that they're focused on getting credits and going back to the high school to graduate from their high school or graduating with us at Santana High School. And then another thing that they mentioned is that they're blessed with opportunities for all students. Where they might not have been able to join ASB at their comprehensive site, they're much more comfortable joining ASB at our school. The arts and music are very important to our students as well. We have not one but 2 guitar classes at Santana High School. We are sponsored by the drummer of Guns N' Roses. His name is Matt Sorum, and he provided, I think it was like 7 or 8 guitars for us. So it's a great opportunity to see our students excel in something. Last year I had a kid, as he was walking by, he was shaking his head, chuckling, and he was mentioning, I've never thought I would learn how to play an instrument. So he was very excited and proud of himself. So if you have a chance, we do have coffee houses about once every 2 or 3 months, and we'll make sure we put the invitation out to Brandy so that she can distribute it out to all the board members and stuff. But it was just a great way to see our students really excel and just the way they light up, something for them to take pride in. They're also able to participate in journalism, yearbook, and then we try to expose them to opportunities they might not have. So we take field trips to community colleges and four-year universities as well. Our relationships, that's a key thing with our students. They know that they can count on our counselor. They said that he's easily accessible, where other counselors have large caseloads or larger caseloads. They know that they could see him during lunch, nutrition, after school, or if it's a real emergency, he'll stop what he's doing to meet with them. He meets with multiple times, talks to us at their level. That's one of the big things for them, is he knows what, you know, what their lives are about, and that he can really talk to them, and he knows where they're coming from, so he's able to relate with them. Our teachers, they say that each teacher cares for them. They know them by name. Even teachers who are not their teacher will know them, which is a good thing and bad thing, depending on if they're in trouble for dress code or something like that. But they know that the teachers care for them at Santana High School. They said that they scaffold instruction to meet the individual needs of each student. The smaller classes makes for more support. Every student feels, not every student, but most students feel like they're well supported at Santana High School. One of the big things they said too is sometimes in life they are missing out on role models at the home, in the home, because parents are out working or they just don't have them in the home. So they see their teachers as role models, and they often have discussions about life and what's after high school with their teachers, which really helps out. Another thing that we have is our campus aides. They treat them with respect and address the issues in a non-aggressive way. They said that, you know, they've been trained in PBIS and are able to recognize them and work with them with their behaviors. Culture, we've really taken a deep interest in rolling out PBIS correctly at Santana High School. We met with certificated and classified, and they know how to engage with students, both when they need a correct behavior and when they need a reward behavior. So one of the things that we're working on is monthly assemblies where we recognize student achievement and we recognize improvements, even in attendance, or a student who came from a D to a C+. We want to recognize those increments and change and let them know that we're supporting them. So they're given things called store dollars, and then every month we have raffles for those students. Another thing that we're very proud of is the decrease in suspensions at Santana High School. A lot of that is due to the money that you guys have placed into alternatives to suspension, where students are taught how to behave correctly and do some reflection on what they did wrong, and they're able to do classwork and homework with a teacher rather than at home unsupervised on a suspension. We've also have not have any fights last year or up to this year, and we did not have any expulsions from last year. I think we had one suspended expulsion that we were working on, but we're really happy that, you know, behavior is changing. If you go onto the Santana campus, you'll notice that it's really calm, that we're about celebrating academics and celebrating life. We're also very supportive and nurturing environments, what the students have said. Oh, our kids are here. Let me just introduce them really well. Why don't you come down? All right. So I've taken over your guys' speech, but we'll let you guys do the end. Why don't you come on in? Okay. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and your role in ASB? Okay. Come here, right here.
So we're ASB from Santana High School. I'm Susanna Chinchilla. And this is Felipe de la Cruz.
Hi, I'm Felipe de la Cruz.
Okay, so stay here because we do have a couple of things that you need to share with them. But we're on the mental health support. So one of the other things that we're very proud of is all the work that FRC has done. We have group counseling going on around the following topics, which will really make a difference with our students. These are all the things the school counselor is doing at this time right now, meeting with students, making sure they know how many credits they need to return to their home school or how many they need to graduate if they stay with us. We're also getting something called an individual learning plan, where each student has a piece of paper and they'll know how many credits they have at all times, so there's no guessing, and they know the work that they need to put in, what classes they need to take. We're also inviting Wells Fargo to come out to talk about personal financial responsibility, as our young adults will be entering the work world and credit cards in the near future. And then we have Mount SAC applications for early graduates. So at this time, Felipe and Susanna, I just want to see if you could say a couple of things as to why Santana is special to you.
Well, the reason why I ended up at Santana in the beginning is because I used to be like, I just had many problems, and I was like going down the wrong path. I became very like suicidal. I was very like depressed. I didn't want to do anything. I was giving up on school because of my problems outside of school, and that wasn't okay. And so I started at Roland High School, and it really didn't help me. Like, I felt like I wasn't getting the help I needed. I felt lost. It was just people I couldn't relate with anybody. Like, I don't know. I just wanted to keep to myself. So I moved to Nogales. And then Nogales, I was doing way better. But by that time, I was already, it was second semester of my sophomore year. And it was, like, too late. I had to go to Santana. So at Santana, I went from 85 credits to 110 within, like, a month. Because I was working so hard. Because I just needed to get back on track with wanting, like, I want to be a lawyer. And then the way I was going, I wasn't going to get there. And now, like, Santana has helped me so much. The staff, everything, like, the work, they pretty much help you one-on-one individually. And at the same time, they keep the class going. They did so good, like, with me. They helped me with my challenges and my strengths, too. Like, ever since I've been at Santana, I've been doing completely better. Like, I play guitar now. I play guitar, I play violin, I sing. I'm a part of ASB. Like, I literally changed for the better. And I'm so happy to say that I decided to go to Santana when I did. It helped me a lot.
Wait, can I move this up?
Yep, please.
Sorry, I'm a little tall. Okay, I went to Santana in the beginning of freshman year because I recently came out to my, like, I came out to my parents and they didn't accept me. So, like, I was just depressed. I didn't want to do anything. Like, I was getting, like, help from teachers, but I just didn't really care. I just kept saying that when I was going to kill myself. Like, I didn't want to do anything. So I went to, my counselor called me in and told me I was going to go to Santana. I was scared because I was told that it was a bad school, that it was just so many negative topics about the school that I was just afraid to go even be, like, attend to that school for, like, my safety or anything. And when I went in there, I tried to dress as straight as possible. I didn't want to be a bad first impression. But when I went in there, everyone was so nice to me, the staff, I got really close with the nurse, the attendants. They're just so nice every morning. Also, I joined a club. It was the Empowerment Group. I was the president of that group. And we would just talk about, like, our feelings if we went through stuff or anything. And, like, that class really helped me because we just got really close to everyone. We just, in that school, everyone knows each other.
And that concludes our spotlight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Will you put the top screen on, the first slide? Thanks.
Thank you. So the next item is the student report. The first is John Roden High School, Michaela Lua, the ASB secretary.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Michaela Leilua, and I am the 2018 to 2019 ASB Secretary of Roland High School. I am filling in for Emily Birch, the Speaker of the House, who cannot be here tonight because she's representing our school at a varsity volleyball game against San Dimas High School. So, on August 31st at lunch, we had our club fair day. The location of this event was also the debut of our new quad. All the clubs had tables set up where students could walk around to sign up or learn more about these clubs. Roland has over 60 clubs to offer to our students, ranging from service clubs, cultural clubs, academic clubs, and hobby clubs. New clubs that were added this year have been programming, boys volleyball, grappling, and aviation/aeronautics. On Wednesday, September 5th, the homecoming theme was revealed, Secret Garden, the Key to a Magical Night. Homecoming Spirit Week is October 1st to October 5th, with theme days such as Mismatch Monday, Taurus Tuesday, Western Wednesday, Triplet Thursday, and on Friday, The Storm is Coming, Wear Blue and Gold. On Friday, we will have our annual homecoming rally, which is a very popular event because it allows the school to see our talented students perform, such as choir, band, and cheer. The homecoming game is on Friday, October 5th at 7 p.m. against Wilson High School. At the halftime show, we will reveal the homecoming queen. We encourage everyone to come watch the game and halftime show. The dance is on Saturday night, October 6th, from 8 to 11 p.m. in our gym. Back to school night was on September 6th. Mr. Brunier welcomed parents and the community into our new quad, where everyone enjoyed student entertainment from our orchestra, band, cheer, and choir before visiting the classrooms. We would like to thank the board members and district personnel who are present at this event. Monday, September 10th, we had our first class meetings of the year. Students were able to meet up with their class and discuss past events and future events coming up. This was an exciting meeting for the freshmen, especially because they were able to see the suggestions for their class mascot. During third period that day, we held our first House of Representatives meeting, where each third period class sent a representative. The House of Representative meetings are used to inform students about upcoming events and activities at our school. Students also have the opportunity to provide constructive comments and criticism in relation to the past events. During second period, our Senate also met, in which the presidents of each club, in which the presidents of each of our clubs joined together to also have an opportunity to provide constructive comments and receive important information regarding club business. This Friday, September 14th, will be our September senior event. This will be the senior barbecue held in the senior mall. There will be burgers, chips, and lemonade provided for seniors who have purchased senior attire. The meal will be all cooked by our Roland staff. Seniors will also get the chance to vote for our homecoming top six representatives. September 20th, we'll be supporting the District College Fair Night at Nogales High School. Colleges will have the chance to advertise their school, and students can get any information they need before making their big decision. Our fall sports have been busy playing preseason games. League games have begun for some sports. We are looking forward to supporting our teams through Roland Thunder and theme nights such as Pink Out, which is to dress in pink and sell pink shirts for breast cancer awareness, A Taste the Rainbow Night, which is to dress in all colors of the rainbow, and a Onesie Funsie Night, which is to dress in pajamas or onesies. Having themes for the games gives students a sense of indirect participation. Our performing arts have also begun auditions for the fall play, which will be Steel Magnolias. The play will be shown in late October and the beginning of November. Our choir has started to practice for the competition season, as well as their fall show, which will be held in October. Band is finishing their field show, which can be viewed at the conclusion of the homecoming game. We also invite you to attend Comedy Sports' first match, Friday, September 28th, in the theater at 7 p.m. Although this year has just begun, we are already working on many events and plan continuing to offer events and activities that support our Raider goals. With all of our events coming up, we are ready to keep the spirit throughout the rest of the school year and continue to improve our capability of becoming better thinkers, communicators, and contributors. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, Regina Garcia, SME Executive President, provide report for Nogales High School.
Hello, Mr. President, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the cabinet, and members of the audience. I am Virginia Garcia, ASB President, and I'm here today to represent Nogales High School. In the month of September, our first event was our senior luau. This event was held on September 5th. We had delicious Hawaiian food and amazing Hawaiian dancers, that entertained our seniors with cultural music, history of their Hawaiian songs, and also a Hawaiian fire dancer. The following day, on September 6th, we invited all parents and students of the Noble family to our back-to-school night. This is a chance for parents to engage with their students' education and get a gist of what goes on throughout their year, throughout the year of their students' education. This week, on Friday, September 14th, we'll be having our fall sports rally. We started the week with exciting spirit days. Monday was green out. Tuesday was college gear day. Wednesday was hat day. Today was crazy sock day. And Friday will be class shirt day. So far, we had an enormous amount of participation, which is very exciting. Next week, on September 20th, we will be hosting the annual District College Fair. This is where our students will have the opportunity to engage with various representatives from universities and colleges. They will also have the opportunity to attend workshops on financial aid, private school applications, and preparing for college. On Friday, September 21st, we will be the Battle of the Tracks game against our rival school, Roland. It is an event where both schools' football teams meet in Battle of the Trophy, which we know Nogales will keep. And this concludes everything that will happen for the month of September at Nogales High School.
Thank you, Virginia. Thank you, Virginia. Is he still here?
No,
so he already reported. Okay, so is Santana High School already reported? Yeah, there is. Yeah. Okay, the public comments. Any requests for a couple of public comments?
Yes, we have two.
Two? Okay, let me call the name. And number one is Mr. William Harrison.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. I was able to get a copy of the Smart Balance exams for our students, our schools, and unfortunately, the results were terrible, absolutely horrific. With the exception of Blanford, all of our schools are underperforming, every bit of them. I mean, they're doing a terrible job. And I hold the board responsible. I hold the administrators of the schools responsible. I hold the teacher responsible. I hold the students responsible. We should be ashamed of ourselves by offering such inferior education. We have kids who can do better than what they're doing, but for some reason, we're not making the grade. Our kids are scoring way below average. Now, I mean, they're failing across the board. Now, that being said, let's move forward, okay? We've purged ourselves. We said we recognize our faults. Let's move forward and improve the schools. I go to most of these schools. We have outstanding teachers. We have great administrators. We have administrators who support the schools, support their teachers. We have teachers who do an outstanding job. We have outstanding students. So what I'm saying here today is let's stop beating the drum about how terrible our schools are, how our district office is not performing, how our kids are not performing, and let's get on the bandwagon and say positive things. Just move forward. I can assure you that. You know that I find fault with almost everything. I've purged myself. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm only going to bring good news as I did in the past. And I had a good, beat up with Mr. Yusuf. Good administrator, supports his school, supports his teachers. And the school site council meeting went very well today, very well. And Mr. Garcia, who's taken my friend's place here, is also very transparent. So, and congratulations. My point is we need to get on the bandwagon to move forward. And we need to hold people accountable. We need to hold the district office accountable, administrators accountable, teachers accountable, students accountable, but not parents, because parents send us their kids, and they want us to do the best for them. And we're doing a pretty good job. We just need to push a little harder, do a little better job than we're doing, and I'm sure we'll meet our goals. Another problem I have is with the Oswald School. For some reason, the community of Walnut is left out of the loop. We're never informed when you have a meeting. And I don't think that's not fair. The school is in my community, and I'm never informed what's going on. But again, my point is we're doing a great job here at Roland. We need to all join together as a family and push the wagon up the hill, stop dragging it down the hill. Thank you.
I need to read this. No, that's all right. Okay. Mr. Roy Humphreys.
I
Okay, thank you for all the good things. You know, I want to thank this gentleman for his comments because, as we know, and as a prior slave owner says, the only way we can move forward is if we're honest about our past. And to that point, we come up to the compliance demand that was sent in, and it is hereby demanded that the departing letter statement by Citizens Bond Oversight Committee then chairman Harry Peterson be published immediately for viewing and download on the district website as required by law. Mr. Peterson's statement was given to all members of the Bond Oversight Committee and District Assistant Superintendent Alejandro Alex Flores. It was also read by Mr. Peterson during the meeting and reflect in the minutes. Additionally, board members Lynn Ebenkamp and David Malcolm were present at the reading. Your counsel, legal counsel, will probably note to you that there are legal consequences for failing to comply with the applicable laws and statutes. And the question arises, will we be in the situation where each board member has to have a criminal lawyer in the individual representation as per the board members over in Montebello? And further, the continued refusal to provide microphones and audio record the Bond Oversight Committee is an affront to all. Yes, video recording is the 21st century default standard. Mr. Peterson's well-earned certificate of appreciation, the lack of which illustrates the deficit in character quality of this board and administrative leadership, as well as to the letter that is owed Mr. John Grant. The Citizens Bond Oversight Committee Chairwoman Natalie Moreno received a well-deserved scathing rebuke by member Wendy Jong for the sham annual report. And as per the issues with Oswald, that $50 million bond fund windfall is going to bring forth a day of reckoning. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but it would come to light. That's Mark 2-4. And also we want to thank Ms. Pride there for letting the cat out of the bag on the debacle of the Macy's Day Parade and the scattered history of this district prior to her arrival. And also something that is a shame for this district is that Denise Jackman is allowed to be anywhere associated with it. And we must commend Mr. Shea Lohman here last week, last meeting, when he was provided the opportunity to open mic, say anything, well, after he made some comments about a person's knowledge of different things. And he shot out of here like a jackrabbit in the sights of a 12-gauge shotgun. Also, all the videos for this board meetings, the Bond Oversight Committee, and the Commissioner are on my website or on my YouTube site. Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you.
Okay, next item is a public hearing. We have a public hearing to receive public input on the sufficiency or insufficiency of the instructional materials of students in grade TK to 12 as required by Education Code Section 6119. The public hearing is open at 6:43. Can open this comment, so the hearing closes at 6:44. The next item is the resolution number 978, this one here.
Yes.
Resolution at 1819.01, sufficient standards, alignment, instructional material for all students. Can I have a motion and the second for this item?
I make a motion.
Angelina Pride.
I'll second.
Don Freeman, second. Discussion? Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item, 7B, an audit actual. I need a motion and a second to approve 2017-2018 an audit actual financial report as present.
I'll move.
Edmund Ken?
Second.
Don Freeman, second. And Dr. Mitchell?
Perfect.
The discussion.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Flores to come to the podium and to queue up a brief presentation to share some information with the board regarding the unaudited actuals.
Good evening. Before I start this presentation, I think I want to give some credit also. It was great how we start the meeting by recognizing all the great students and staff members we have. And we have one staff member who just recognized this weekend by the Chinese Association for all the work that she has done on behalf of our district. And she'll be the first one to tell you that she doesn't want to be recognized publicly, and she's probably really upset with me right now. But she does also say that when she's recognized, she's recognized and she takes it on behalf of the whole district for all the great work that everyone in this district, from the board to everyone who supports student instruction here, does for kids on a daily basis. So I want to say thank you to, congratulations to Dr. Mitchell for being recognized by the Chinese Association as a community member of the year. Now the boring part, my part. Good evening, Board President Chan, Vice President Friedman, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and audience. Thank you for allowing me to provide you a presentation on the unaudited actuals. In this presentation, I'll provide a background of the unaudited actuals, share the unaudited ending balances, and next steps for closing the 2017-18 school year. As you can see, we just adopted the 18-19 budget and continue to work closing the 17-18 budget by presenting the unaudited actuals tonight. This will be followed by the first interim for the 18-19 fiscal year in December. The unaudited actual is best described as a year-end fiscal statement. Corporations in the private sector use year-end fiscal statements to report profitability. For public agencies like us, the unaudited report is a tool that demonstrates how funds were planned to be spent. The unaudited report helps illustrate district solvency and provides future budgetary guidance. If large variances occur, especially in the ending balance, we can use the information from the unaudited actuals to refine the current budget. Since sharing the estimated actuals in June, the financial books have now closed. Estimates or projections now are replaced by actual revenue and expenditures in the system. This is a very large undertaking involving several departments with fiscal service leading the way. And I would like to recognize two of the main players that do this for us, and that's Aubrey Craig and Corey Duran. This slide shows the big picture of our unrestricted 17-18 budget during three different phases: budget adoption, estimated actuals, and unaudited actuals. The adoption is for information only, with the variance column indicating the changes in revenue and expenditures between estimated and unaudited actuals. The ending balance will be a little over $30.9 million, or 25%. Which is $142,000 more than was estimated. Under the board and Dr. Mitchell's leadership, our district remains in a strong financial position. These are the components of the revenue variance. Total revenues decreased by $2.3 million. A large portion of this revenue decrease came from additional contributions to deferred and routine maintenance. These are the components of the expenditure variances. Overall, expenditures were reduced by $2.5 million. Expenses in certificated salaries, health and welfare, supplies, and other operating expenses did not materialize. Restricted funds are also accounted for in the unaudited report, and these are examples of restricted funds, with a large part of the budget going to special education. This slide shows the big picture for the 17-18 restricted budget. From this slide, we can see the revenue came in higher by over $600,000 and expenditures were under by $3.4 million. The bulk of expenditure reductions came from books and supplies. We were able to use other funding sources, saving these funds for future book adoptions. Science is around the corner, and social science is to follow. The ending balance is just over $15.3 million. Final steps to close the 17-18 fiscal year are underway. Our auditors, Nigro and Nigro, began their comprehensive and independent audit in the spring by visiting school sites and the district office. A debt file of the unaudited actuals will be reviewed, analyzed, confirmed by the auditors and the county. The auditors will come back on site in November to continue their comprehensive and, again, independent review. The audit will be completed by December 15th and presented to the board in January. Our next steps. We should expect changes from both revenue expenditures in 18-19 budget at the first interim. When the governor signed the 18-19 budget, there was a reduction in one-time discretionary funds from 344 per ADA to 188 per ADA. There was also an increase in COLA from 3% to 3.7%. I would like to note that this is a positive thing for districts because an increase in one-time funds is a one-time occurrence, and usually you spend those funds on one-time activities. But increasing the COLA, this provides an increase in the district revenue base, which will carry over for future years. Expenditures possibly will increase as we provide additional programs and support to provide innovative learning for all students. Other items like the district video camera installation project, which was not fully completed in 17-18, the remainder will be completed in 18-19 and was not budgeted tonight. For example, there's a PO for $600,000 of the remaining $1.2 million for the camera installation that will be going for approval tonight. Finally, I would like to highlight a current trend among school districts in California. School Services California released a report in June 2018 regarding the number of school districts in California that have received negative and qualified certifications. By first interim of last year, four LEAs received negative certifications and 42 LEAs received qualification certifications. By the second interim, the total number of qualifications certifications decreased to 25. Again, a negative certification means a district cannot pay their bills. A qualified certification means that they can pay their bills the first year, but may not pay their bills the next 2 years. One of the reasons why these school districts might be experiencing financial hardship is due to the major increase in STRS and PERS costs. As a result of this issue, I believe strongly that the governor adjusted his budget to increase the COLA to help address the STRS and PERS increases. I again would like to commend the board and the superintendent for effectively planning for these anticipated pension cost increases a few years ago. Your guidance allowed the district to remain in a strong financial position regardless of this year's COLA. As I close, again, I'd like to give credit where it's deserved, the fiscal team. They have been awesome. Should get all the credit for closing the books on time. When the district breaks for summer vacation, this department does not. Along with the fiscal team, closing the book involves other departments like purchasing, warehouse, school site office managers, and others. It's truly a team effort. Roland Unified is very fortunate to have dedicated, caring, and honest individuals working behind the scenes to help support student learning. And that's why I included all those pictures in my presentation today. Because there's a common thread. All the kids, all the staff, they're smiling because there's quality people in our district.
Thank you, Alice. Questions?
Just a couple of things. First, I want to say thank you for the large font in the presentation. I was able to read it very easily without my glasses on. The other thing I want to say is during your presentation, you always refer to the board and the superintendent and thank us for our guidance and leadership. But it's really you and your team, the superintendent too, but you and your team who guide this and, you know, really take the time to make sure that all of our numbers are correct and that we're where we're supposed to be fiscally. So thank you to you and thank you to the team for all of your hard work. And then the only question I have is, I know in the past we've had some community members who have had questions about, you know, our audits and our budgets and stuff when we publish it for board meeting, and you would take the time to meet with them and address their questions. Has anyone approached you lately from the community to ask questions about our budget or our audits or anything like that?
No, I haven't had any community.
So no requests at
all? I guess I have, because board members are community members, and you guys constantly ask me questions.
Aside from the board, yeah. So then if anyone says something about this report, the chances are if they probably didn't understand it, maybe if they didn't ask you for clarification, or they could have contacted you to ask for clarification if they had a question about it. I guess that's a better statement.
Yes, no one has come to me.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to ditto what Ms. Pride said about you, Mr. Flores, because you seem to catch the flack but give everybody else the credit. So we know you're working hard and you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
And the board feels that way. I'd like to ditto also something you said about some of the districts are really in financial trouble. Mr. Flores and I go up to Sacramento every quarter where we talk about legislation and some of the things that are going on, and we meet with a lot of board members from other districts from the whole state. And there are a lot of districts that are really scared out there because they did not plan ahead. So I want to thank you for leading us down the right path.
Thank you.
Anna?
I'll ditto both of them. Outstanding. Thank you for a great report. You and your team, wonderful. And, yes, you get all those compliments. You deserve them. Thank you for taking good care
of the
district.
Effort.
I guess I'll join the bandwagon here. But not only this budget report, but, you know, the way you manage the bond monies also, I think it's just phenomenal, you know, how you keep us on track, you keep us focused, and you keep us honest in what we're doing. Thank you.
Any more questions? Thank you, Alex. Thank you for your hard work and your team's hard work.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I do appreciate every time we go walk schools, we go to events, that you're always asking me questions about the budget. You're asking me questions fiscal related. And I just like for you, I'm open doors to answer any questions from the community members too. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Okay, next item, 7C, resolution AS 1819-103, gun limit. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move. Second.
Donna second, Angelina, Donna first, Angelina second. Discussion? Questions? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, 7D, the board member nomination, California Board, School Board of Association Director-at-Large, Asian Pacific Islander and Hispanic. There any motion for a CSBA member for the position of CSBA Director-at-Large? Anyone?
Are you interested, anyone? Carrie?
Are you interested?
No, I pass, so anyone else? We can nominate anyone from our board or other board.
No.
Okay, then.
So, yeah, so then hearing none, this item will die.
With that, yeah. Okay, next item, 7E, revised
course description health. I need a motion and a second to approve the revised health course for students in grade 9-12 beginning 2018 and 2019.
I move.
Okay. And Donna, second. Discussion?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
So the health science and I want to add medical together, can I, even though that's going to come up?
I'm sorry, can you ask the question again?
If I can do health science and medical assisting together, because the teacher talked about both of them.
Just one. Or
I should just
time.
Keep it to health science. Okay, Melanie Montgomery, teacher at Nogales High School, explained the textbooks. She was very excited explaining the textbooks. The health science textbook used to be an ROP class, was called MedCore, and now at Nogales High School there are two classes for medical assisting, front office, and the second one is called medical assisting. The back office, there were 59 chapters to cover in 1 year. Now they can cover it in 2 years. Loma Linda Junior College uses the same program, but it takes 18 to 24 months long to complete the course. One school year to finish this was too much in such a short amount of time. The book's some highlights are it covers over 250 diversified health occupations, just to mention a few clinical and administrative positions, two chapters on medical history that students find very interesting because they are engaged in to learn the history of healthcare, which started in ancient time. It talks about the healthcare systems, public and private. Ms. Montgomery said in chapter 3 about careers, the students do board projects and compete using public speaking. They learn about their occupation, research, etc. A new chapter in this book is medical math, which was not in the older version book, dated 2009. That's all.
Any answer, anything?
I don't think there was a question.
No.
Okay. So this way. Mm-hmm.
Right. Any other questions?
I'll say that the textbooks are well written, and they cover a multitude of information.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7F. Need a motion and a second to adopt the course Criminal Justice Law Enforcement and the textbook Criminal Justice Law Enforcement, the 9th edition.
I make a motion.
Angelina, motion. Second. Freeman, second. Discussion?
Yes.
Questions? Yes, go ahead, please.
About the criminal justice and forensic science, Rodney Donahue is a teacher at Nogales High School and explained these books. He spoke very highly of these two new books with enthusiasm. These two classes also used to be ROP classes. Mr. Donahue used a CD with no textbook in the past. He said Roland said he needs a textbook. In the criminal justice book, every chapter had a scenario which engaged the students. He said the students are directly motivated. In the forensic science, there is a lab in every section which he said is needed. Just wanted to add, these two teachers worked hard all day teaching and then came to explain these books to the public from 3 to 5 with so much enthusiasm. It was amazing. They did a great job, and students are going to learn a lot from these new books with these teachers. They did a good job finding the right books.
Any other questions or any comments? In favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Can I start 7G? I need a motion and a second to adopt the course for forensic science investigation and the textbook for forensic science fundamentals and investigation, second edition.
I move.
I make a move.
Oh, second.
Dr. Freeman, second. Discussion? What if you say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 7H, I need a motion and a second to adopt the course Diversified Health Occupations and the textbook Diversified Health Occupations, the 8th edition.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
I'll second.
Mr. Malcolm, second. Discussion? Let me see if I say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7I, can I have a motion and a second to adopt the course Medical Assistant Clinical and the textbook Medical Assistant Administrative and Clinical competency, eighth edition, 2018. Need a motion?
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Edwin, second. Discussion? Want to say aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7K, I need a motion and a second to approve the request from Roland High School to dedicate the wrestling room as the Ralph Harris.
I think we missed
one. Oh, I'm sorry, missed one. I'm sorry.
J.
7J, I'm sorry. There's one more course. I need a motion and a second to adopt the course medical assistant administrative and the textbook medical assisting and administrative clinical competency for 8th edition 2018.
I move.
Edwin comes in, and Don Freeman second. Discussion?
I tell you, if these students learn what's in those books and they read them all, they're going to come out really good as medical assistants.
Any more comments? No more questions? Favorite say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item is the Roland High School wrestling room dedication. I need a motion and a second to approve the request from Roland High School to dedicate the wrestling room as a Ralph Harris Wrestling Center in honor of Ralph Harris, athletic director of 37 years.
Yes. I second.
Donna move and Janina Price second. And discussion? Questions, comments?
What would be
outcome of the discussion?
Purchasing a plaque that we'll put on this room, or how does this play out?
So this is a request of the school, according to our board policy, must be approved by the board. The school is planning to recognize Ralph, and they have selected a date that I will be informing the board. Ralph has moved after retirement. He's moved to Utah, and so he'll be coming back for a CIF recognition, and we plan to do this room dedication at the same time.
So we'll be putting a plaque on the room?
That is the discretion of the school site.
Go ahead.
Was it decided that that name would be agreeable for himself?
Correct. Correct. Yes, he was consulted.
He was asking about some other things.
Yeah, he was consulted on the naming and has accepted this.
And just, I have to say that Mr. Harris was an amazing person there at the school site for all the years that I've been involved with Roland High School. And the kids just adored him, and the staff adored him, and he was very passionate about his job. So this is a nice way to recognize that.
Okay. And is this room being impacted with the construction?
This time it is not.
Okay.
Any other questions? Discussion? No. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. 7L. I need a motion and a second to adopt the resolution HR 18-19-01, volunteers eligible for workers' compensation benefits.
I make a motion.
Angelina Pride.
Second.
And Edwin Kemp, second. Discussion, questions?
I just have one question. Under financial impact, it says no financial impact to the district. There is no financial impact then?
Well, and I'll defer to Dennis. But there has the potential, but it's unknown at this time.
Okay.
So if there is someone, and you can correct me, if there is someone who does need to make a claim that could have a financial impact, but the purchase of it does not have an impact. So this...
Hmm.
Is there any additions you'd like to make?
Is it possible to look into, I heard, an idea that another district has them sign a waiver saying that they won't have workers' comp if they volunteer. Is that possible?
That is possible, yes. So if that's the interest of the board, then it would be a voting no on this resolution. So it's either you do or you do not. So you would not pass a resolution to say that it's afforded to them and then expect them to sign something that says that it's not. So if the board does not have interest in pursuing this, then it would be a no vote for this request, for this item.
Okay.
I have a question. If we have no worker compensation, is that if something happens to that, are we inviting lawsuit?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the option here is to, I think it's on. So the option here is to provide protection for those folks who are volunteering for the school district, mm-hmm. and provide a modicum of medical coverage in the event that someone, say, trips and falls, right. or they have the option to, if they're not provided coverage, to engage in litigation. Litigation is generally more expensive than covering the injury, and that's why the recommendation has been made for this resolution.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
I need some more information on this. My concern is that just because I'm volunteering today for 4 hours and I go home and I'm doing something and then I come back and I say I was hurt when I was volunteering, that's a difficult thing to cover. I think we have to tighten it. They either have to be working, you know, X number of hours. I'm assuming they're going to sign in when they're volunteering and they sign out, so we know what hours they're volunteering. So if somebody signs out and goes home, we'll know something happens elsewhere. They're not on the clock for workers' comp. It just, to me, I think it needs more thought than coming to a decision tonight.
That's certainly the prerogative of the board. I think to answer your question to address your concern, our volunteers, there is a sign-in at our schools, and our volunteers sign in and sign out when they're working at our schools. That is not ever to preclude someone from being dishonest. So I don't think we could ever create a policy that would be foolproof enough to, preclude someone from being dishonest if that was their interest or their desire. If the accident or injury is reported after their time that they've been volunteering, it still would fall within this policy. So
would they be covered just while they're on, like if I'm a volunteer for a certain class?
Mm-hmm.
Would I just be covered while I'm on campus, or would I be covered if I went to another campus to do volunteer work with that school?
You'd be covered any time you were in a volunteer capacity by the school district. So if you're on a field trip, if you're in a classroom, if you are volunteering at the showcase, if you are on a district facility or not a district facility, if you're in the capacity of volunteering for the district, this resolution would allow for the opportunity for filing for a workers' compensation injury.
Would there be an opportunity to sign in as a volunteer if you were at the showcase or someplace else, you weren't at your home site? In other words, at the showcase, would they have a sign-in for volunteers who are working that day, or does it need to be done at the school?
No, we could create a sign-in sheet for anything. Historically, we have not had a sign-in for, say, the showcase. When it's a field trip or some of those other things, yes, because they've started at the school site and they're ending at the school site, but we have not previously at, say, the showcase. And perhaps maybe not at like Science Olympiad and some of those other kinds of things. I think it's important to note that, again, a sign-in and sign-out is not going to preclude somebody from being dishonest. So even if they've signed in and signed out, gone home, come back the next day and say that they have an injury, that they can say, I lifted a box when I was here yesterday. I didn't think it was a problem, but I couldn't get out of bed this morning. So the sign-in, sign-out, because it sounds like your interest would be if it didn't occur between 12 and 4 when I was there volunteering and nobody told me about it between those hours, they would be exempt from being able to make a claim after they'd left our property.
Just that it did occur during those hours. But as you said, I understand. They could say the next day, I didn't report it, but it happened yesterday.
Right. But if the board still has additional questions, this is not something that is an urgent matter that must be taken care of this evening. It is something, as you know, we have the volunteer policy, and this is a part of that. And with Keenan, they have requested that if there is a claim, it requires that this resolution be passed by the board before they would be covered. So it has to be an active action on the part of the board for Keenan to then proceed with any claims.
One thing I'd like to know is how many volunteers we have, and maybe we could get some, at a future time, maybe we could find out what the claims average per month.
So we don't have any.
Regular employees.
Oh, well, that's.
How much is work, you know, how costly is it going to be for us? Yeah. No, we don't know because we don't
know. You don't know.
Accidents.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
You know, as a volunteer at many other locations and having to recently sign a waiver, you know, to become a volunteer nowadays is not easy. Between your fingerprinting, your background check, your vaccinations, and everything else, it's very difficult to become a volunteer. And we put a lot of roadblocks up, and they have to, you know, jump a lot of hurdles. And I had second thoughts when I had to sign that waiver, and I didn't like signing it because I figured, you know, I'm donating my time. I've gone through this process to become a volunteer, and now they're not willing to cover me if I get injured. And I think it's a small benefit that we can give. And I agree with what Dennis was saying, that just because they get injured, if they don't have workers' comp, that doesn't mean they can't litigate it.
Oh, yes.
And litigation, like Dennis said, is a lot more expensive than letting them file a claim under workers' comp.
Go ahead,
Donna. So I am really happy that Mr. Chin asked, can we get sued? And Dennis explained definitely, and it would cost more than having the workers' comp. So you changed my mind. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you. Any more questions, Lynn?
You convinced me.
Okay, so let me go ahead. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. So 4-1, motion carries. All right? One opposed.
I don't think so.
One opposed.
Nobody opposed.
Did you oppose?
No.
No one opposed. I thought you said opposed.
Will you ask again? All in favor?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. All right. Okay. Really clear. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. The next item, 7M. I need a motion and a second to adopt the resolution proclaiming October 8th, 14, 2018, at the week of school administrators.
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
Angelina has made the motion, and Donna Freeman second. And discussion questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. And 7N, we need a motion and a second to adopt the resolution proclaiming October 23rd to 31st, 2018 as a Red Ribbon Week, with this year's theme being Life is Your Journey, Travel Drug-Free.
I like that.
I move.
Second.
And became first. And Angelina second. Discussion?
Oh, I remember last year Angie said if there's any way you could notify the board of any activities that are going on, as far as if they're having an assembly or things like that, that would be very appreciative.
Certainly.
David?
That was my question.
Okay, that's easy. Any more questions? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, 7-0, need a motion and a second to adopt the resolution proclaiming October 2018 is Bullying Prevention Month.
I will move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion? Questions? Come in. Go ahead.
Same request as the previous, that we be made aware of any programs.
Okay. Okay.
Assembly.
That sounds good.
Any good? Other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. 7P. This is not a voting item. It's receive the first reading review of the board policy 4033, lactation and commendation.
I'll move.
This is not a motion.
Oh, it's not.
Mm-hmm. That's just a discussion. Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? Any?
I have an item.
The first reading of this discussion. Any comments?
Yeah, I'm really glad to see this because when I was working, and I had a department of about 20 people, I did provide this opportunity for lactating mothers, And I ended up getting a lawsuit filed against me by the union for giving people additional time off, or because we had no policy for it. So I got in trouble for giving additional time off, or for giving time off that wasn't planned time off, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really glad to see this. But one thing I would like to add to this, because it was part of the situation, is that employees shall be provided a private location with electrical outlets. And so it says in the policy that a bathroom is not considered a private location, but sometimes the pump is a corded pump. Most often it is. And if you give them a room that doesn't have an electrical outlet, it doesn't do them any good.
That's fine. So it's in the fourth paragraph, the employee shall be provided a private location with electrical outlets,
right,
other than a restroom, which is in close proximity. Is that what exactly you're interested in? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that's the privilege of the board, if that's the board would like, we can add that. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Comments? Okay. So we're going to add this.
So I think there's
The one caveat that could come up with that in terms of an electrical outlet, not all employees always work in an office location. You know, there are some who, you know, right now we don't have any maintenance workers who are out in the field in a truck that are female, but that is possible. And so there are ways that corporations meet the needs of ladies with vehicles, with privacy screens and things like that, but there may not be an electrical outlet in a car or a truck for someone.
We could say with electrical outlet when requested.
When available.
Or when available.
When requested.
When requested.
Does that mean if their job is out in a car and they request it, we have to bring them someplace where there's an outlet, or should we just say when it's available?
I would say when requested. I know the employee I had, she had to use the pump. She had no choice. So we set up a conference room and put a sign on the door.
Normally this is done in a private location with those kinds of things. I just wanted to...
Yeah, there may be areas where it is not available, but so I think it's something to consider. And it's because this is a first reading, this is something staff can go back and review, and we will be bringing it back to the board for second reading.
And saying when available doesn't write it in stone. That's my thought.
Okay. Any more comment? No? Right. Okay. So we're going to move to the next item. Next time is also a discussion item, 7Q, and to receive discussion board policy 5144, discipline. This was requested by board member Don Freeman, right? So start with Don.
Okay. On page 2 of the discipline policy, it states that the superintendent or designee will create a model discipline matrix that lists violations and the consequences for each as allowed by law. The administrative staff at each school may develop disciplinary rules to meet the school's particular needs consistent with law, board policy, and district regulations. Site-level disciplinary rules shall be included in the district's comprehensive safety plan, education code number. And so what I wanted to discuss is, like, I saw all the discipline plans for all the schools, and they include the PBIS, interventions, office referrals, some minor and some major. The consequences are listed on referral forms. One school had 3 different forms for referrals. Level 3, major, listed consequences. Offenses listed, minor and major, timeout letter, rethinking letter. One school had the discipline plan sent home to parents that they tore off section to be signed and brought back. Most referrals have what was the action by administrator on them. One school had a principal's discipline plan. Some schools had a flow chart of minor and major offenses where it stated teacher managed and office managed. 2 things that I'd like to discuss are, 1, the discipline plan sent to all staff members within the first 2 weeks of school. when school starts. And the second one is consequences. Administrator determines consequences was on everything. What will happen when, what kind of behavior happens, and list of consequences when that happens, and also repeated offenses. Assertive discipline was something I used in my classroom, and you have to list rules, consequences, and rewards. Is it possible to have the principals come up with a plan, including consequences when certain behaviors happen? And what can the staff at each school expect the administrator to do when a major offense arises by a student? Consequences listed for an action. And what if a teacher feels the consequences are not being followed? So I don't know if we should just do one at a time. The first one, I think that it would be really good on our discipline plan to send to put something in there that all staff members within the first 2 weeks of school get the discipline plan at their school.
Was this a concern by teachers?
I had heard that teachers were discipline was the number one concern.
Have other board members been approached by teachers to say it's their concern?
After you told me that, I asked the teachers. I said, can you come to the board meetings? Because they want to hear it from you, not just me. And can I tell you that teachers said that they're worried about retaliation and they don't feel comfortable coming in the public to just talk about things that aren't happening. But I know that from hearing from them, I had told them that, and they prefer not to do that. So, but I, from going to an ARE meeting, several of them, I have found that they feel that discipline is a problem. Now, I'm not talking, like, PBS is very good to show the good things that are happening and to teach them the right way to do it. But then you've got that percent that it's not helping, and so we need consequences. And so not just teachers, but the whole staff should know, like classified, everyone should know what's going to happen when a behavior that's not shouldn't be happening is happening. What will be the consequence? And so I'm suggesting to... I would like everybody to get, all staff members, not just certificated, to get a discipline plan. It could be through email, but make sure that all principals give it to all the staff. I like the first 2 weeks of school.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm a little confused because on the agenda it states that this was being brought back so that we could just say yay or nay that we want to make sure that the plan gets out within 2 weeks of the school year. But I hear you saying that you want to add in a list of violations and consequences, which is not here on the agenda. Am I wrong? Am I reading this wrong?
So within the agenda, let me preface, the agenda item is for a discussion of Board Policy 5144 under discipline. And so what it sounds like that Mrs. Friedman has requested is within our discipline policy on the top of page 2 is the part about creating the superintendent or designee create a model discipline matrix that lists violations and consequences for each as allowed by law. So I'm so tying it with what the agenda says, it appears that from what I've just heard that Ms. Friedman is interested. Let me ask.
That was my first one. And then this one, when I was reading the discipline policy, it talks about consequences and everything on this policy. And this was for discussion of this policy that I was hoping to add that. And then I wanted to include about the consequences, which it states right on our policy.
Okay. It still seems like it's a little borderline to me that part of that is off agenda. But I'll go ahead and address my concerns on both. The one with the first 2 weeks of getting it out to everybody, I think that that's not something that should be put into board policy. I think that that's something that we make the superintendent aware that we want to take place, and then that she passes that information down to the site administrators, and we hold her and the site administrators accountable for that happening. But I don't think that putting a timeline in a board policy is good practice, especially if it's not something that's in ed code. That's just my thought on that. In relation to the other part of the
including a matrix of violations and consequences. I think we had this discussion before, and my opinion hasn't changed. I object to that because I think that the consequences can there's too many variables to different actions. We would have a whole set of encyclopedias with, okay, but if this happens, then this is a consequence. But if they're doing this because of this, then this is a consequence. I don't think you could do that. You should do that. And I also think that it puts the district in a bad place because if you have two kids who did the same action, but maybe one did it to hurt or harm somebody and the other one did it maybe on an accident, you can't give them the same consequence. It's too different. And I think that's why I kept saying the last time we had this discussion that I would prefer if the teachers or we have the union president here, if Shay Lohman came and addressed this to the board and said exactly what the concerns are that you're hearing that none of the rest of us are hearing, because I'm not clear on this. I don't think that that's something we should do just based off of, you know, some teachers who think they're going to get retaliated against because they say that they need a matrix of discipline. That I'm just not clear on that. But that's just my thought.
So can I say something, Ben? I don't think that they really want the matrix. They want it written down saying that if this behavior happens, it can vary. It can be from in-school suspension to something else. Or, I mean, of course it has to vary. Like, it depends, like you said, because you don't know what caused it. But at least they know that something will happen. As a teacher, that's very important to know, that if I send a student on a referral on a major offense, I want something to happen. What is going to happen? And I want to make sure. And sometimes something doesn't happen. And if discipline is a big issue with our staff, then this might help if it's in writing and they know, every staff member knows, if this happens, something's going to take effect. Now, some of the discipline plans had that, but I think it's good to know, and as you know, I think it's good to have, it has to be varied. Every time one person does this, it's not going to be the same, and it depends how severe too.
Right, but a lot of the major things that could happen that result in discipline are in Ed Code already, so I don't understand why.
But unfortunately, sometimes when it happens, maybe it didn't get followed through away.
But this was going to be my second part. If I have a student sitting in my class who does something that I feel is a
major
violation, and I take it to my administrator, and my administrator does not act, then as a teacher, that's when I'm reaching out to my union president, or hopefully who will then talk to the directors or the superintendents to get that addressed. If somebody does not speak up and just sits there and let this keep going on, then it becomes, where is my culpability in that? I have to take some of the fault for it not being addressed because I'm sending them to the office and I don't feel it's being addressed properly, and so I'm not going to say anything. That's on me at that point. So I would take it to the union president,
so in the
and go through the process.
The problem with that, in the meantime, all the students know that student got away with it, right? And so if we have it written down that when a student does this, this is going to happen. So instead of going to the president of the union, the teacher or whoever classified, it doesn't matter, goes to the sends the student there and is expected knowing that the principal is going to do this. Like they're going to be in school suspended, or they're going to something, or they're not going to return the next day because of what happened. And that tells all the other students, I can't do that. You know, I mean, they have a sort of discipline, you know, like we're not going to allow that. And if we don't do that, and why are we letting that happen? I mean, it shouldn't go to the union, I don't think.
I just don't think that there's as big an issue, and maybe I'm being naive, but our union president is here every month, and I haven't heard it in his report. I just don't think that it's as big of an issue that requires such a strong reaction.
Well,
I think that I would like to hear, and maybe this is something that can be presented to the board at a later date, if from our directors, is this an issue from Mr. Chang, from Ms. Kim? Is this an issue from our union president? Is this an issue from our superintendent? Is this an issue? Because I haven't heard it, and I'm not saying it's not happening. I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that it's not happening. I'm just saying that I haven't heard it, and I'm not going to vote to do something like that. Number one, just because I think that it just shouldn't happen because of all the variables and because we already have things in Ed Code, and I think that there's a process that should be followed if something like that is not addressed. But I want to know, is this an issue in our district? Because if it is, I've been here on this board for 5 years. I have had plenty of teachers come in here and talk about discipline. We had a teacher who came in here at board meeting and addressed us about the student who kept with the hat. Remember that one? We've had teachers come up here and address this. We've had teachers come in here and address all sorts of things. So now I think that if this was a major issue and concern for the teachers, I just feel like we would have heard about it by now.
Can I just address one piece for Ms. Pride? That one of the things that I think that in our district that works very well is that we do have very open lines of communication between our associations and our management staff. And so this conversation around discipline has been a conversation in our district. You'll recall last spring, it was a point of interest with our association. Shay had brought concerns to me, brought concerns to cabinet in terms of a discussion. It's not a topic that's always been silent. The interests that are being expressed this evening to add to policy have not been a part of our discussion. So having a matrix and so on and so forth has not been a direct request that has been presented to me. What we have done to address the concerns is we really wanted to open up the lines of communication between our teachers and our site-level administrators, that we do want open lines of communication, and we want problems to be solved at the most local level. And so following the professional development that had taken place in the spring last year, our teachers and our principals at each of the staff meetings came together and had conversations, and principals reached out and said, what can we do differently? Is there a situation? Is there a concern? And really opened up those lines of communication between the principal and the teachers. And that was that. I believe that the interest of the association was met. The principals did talk about the education code. There are three education codes primarily that address student discipline, and talked about how you use 48900, how you use 48910, how you use 48915, et cetera, so that there was also a better understanding. Continued training through our student services division has happened regarding PBIS, teaching expected behaviors for students. And most recently, I had a discussion. My regular meeting with Shay was yesterday, and it was a topic again because it's an ongoing piece. I left that meeting with the understanding that we are on the right track, that things are moving, and teachers have that line of communication with their principals. I knew that this was an interest that our sites receive. The discipline plans and matrix that have been developed. And so Mr. Despard had asked at our principal's meeting a few weeks ago, last week, I don't recall when it was, asked the principals, have they distributed the discipline plans? And the response was that they had. We didn't clarify, was it to all certificated, all classified, we just said, have you distributed it to staff? So a principal could have interpreted that as teachers, could have interpreted it as everyone. If it's an interest of the board, we could clearly go back and clarify. What is being requested to be added here about a matrix, that I haven't heard. But conversations about discipline and making sure that it stays on the forefront has been a conversation.
I'm glad that you mentioned PBIS, because that's a major element that's been missing in the conversation tonight. And we just heard from two Santana students. And if they had a situation, I would treat those two students totally different than any other student. One was suicidal, one wanted to drop out of school. And if you treated their misbehavior or discipline like you would treat a normal student, you would then lose them totally. And that's why I think, like Ms. Pride said, you got to treat each student. It's not a recipe like a cake. You got to treat them, you know, as individuals, and you got to, you know, you just can't treat them the same and look at a matrix and say you did this, so therefore this is the consequence. I think you have to understand the student. It goes back to what you said at the opening day at the welcoming session. You know, get to know your student. If you don't know your student, you can't teach them. If you don't know your student, you don't know how to discipline them. So I don't think there's a matrix that would answer all questions.
You know, I'm going to say, I'm going to go back, because I was talking before. I was aware that teachers are concerned about this, because when I was getting ready to run for office, I was interviewed by some teachers, and that was a concern. The concern was that the principals weren't following through necessarily, but I don't think the answer is to do a matrix and have all these things. The thing is for each school to decide, to meet and decide, okay, these are our discipline problems. What are we going to do about it? And that should be in their discipline book. And that should be, you know, each school has to be different. It's not for the school board to come and say, this school has to have the policy out to each employee in 2 weeks, that we're going to do this matrix for that problem. It's not for us to dictate that to them. It's for the schools and the principals to come up with something. And if the principal is not doing their job, then I think it should go to the union, and it should be brought up before a meeting here so it can be decided, and Dr. Mitchell needs to be involved. That's what I think.
Can I say something?
So in other words, we can achieve that by your administration level instead of putting it in the policy.
Well, I am a little unclear what we would achieve. What Ms. Ebenkamp had said in terms of if there's a concern and a principal is not following through or is not, you know, there's a level of dissatisfaction, I would assume that the teacher would have a conversation or the classified employee with their union leadership. I would assume, based on all of our past practices, that phone call would come lickety-split right to me. And then we would obviously have conversations with the principal and determine where is the situation? Where's the breakdown that takes place? So if that's what you're asking, yeah, then that is what's in place right now. It is not a common occurrence. I think that as Mrs. Ebenkamp had said when she was running and was interviewed 4 years ago, things have changed significantly in the last couple of years, and the expectations on all staff, leadership staff, all of our employees, is different.
So one thing I want to clarify, I think you misunderstood me. The 2 weeks before school starts, what I want us to add to the policy is nothing that we create. It's what the school created. So their own discipline plan for each school, they have it on, whether they made a committee and they have a discipline plan. I would hope that we could put it in there that within 2 weeks of the beginning of the school, all employees get that at that school, what they created, not what the board did or anything that we did. It would just be what they created so they know what to expect. It has to deal with just that school.
I also think one of the things that's of interest to address that is one of the things that we've been working really hard on is solving our concerns and our problems and our issues at the most local level. We frankly are the most removed level. And so I've said, you know, and we've all said in this conversation that a teacher would go to either Sharon, to Shay, and a classified employee may go to Sharon Carrillo, et cetera, if there's a concern. But I want to change that a bit in terms of going to the most local level. Address it at the most local level first. I would ask that all of us, and Shay and I have clearly had these conversations, that rather than that Shay would say, have you discussed this with your principal first? Right. When calls come directly to me and have leapfrogged over everyone, have you discussed this at the most local level? When a parent calls and has a concern, I send them back to talk to the teacher, because that's how we're going to make things work, that you don't leapfrog over everything and everyone. And so that has been conversations that Shay and I have had, is if the teacher's dissatisfied, the teacher needs to talk to the principal or the assistant principal. If there is no resolution, there's opportunities to get clarification. They can call Mr. Despard in Student Services. They can call Mr. Chang, or they can call Mrs. Kim. They can certainly call Shay, et cetera, to get some additional clarifications. But we really do try to emphasize solving our problems and our concerns at the most local level.
And I understand that. Yeah. But when these teachers said that discipline was number one problem in their sites, I said, did you go to your principal after you did the referral? And they said that several of them at different sites said that the kids just come back and the principal doesn't do anything, even though they were major things that were happening in the classroom. And so I first, because you have taught me that, did you ask your principal? And most of them said yes, but they still do not follow through. And that's why if they have this discipline that they know something is going to happen, then they can always say to the principal, oh, well, weren't you supposed to do something with the student? Like, look, we have it right here in our plan. He was doing this, and is it possible to have one of these consequences on whatever varies? Which I agree that they should vary.
At that point, when they tell you, yes, I went to my principal and they did that, then as a board member, then that's when you should have a conversation with Dr. Mitchell and say, this teacher told me that this happened at their site and that it was not addressed.
It was last year.
For follow-up.
We had that last year. We discussed it.
And did you get follow-up on it?
Did I get follow-up on it?
Yeah, there was one incident that occurred, and it has been a topic of conversation that could keep... I mean, a mistake occurred. Mm-hmm. We've addressed the mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't live it over again, and I don't get a do-over protocol. When there's a situation like that for our staff, so...
Yeah, but that would be the protocol. Because if somebody comes to me and I ask them that question, did you talk to your principal about it? And they say, yeah, my principal ignored me. Then I might say, did you talk to your union leader about it? But I'm also going to let Dr. Mitchell know and make her aware of it so that she can go for it.
It was, I just
want to say that as far as my view on this is that we leave it as is, and that we just provide direction to the superintendent to tell the site administrators that they have to get the discipline policy out to all staff within the first 2 weeks of the school year. And I just don't think that a matrix is the answer.
Actually, I'd like to, as a board, maybe direct Dr. Mitchell to have this a hot topic of discussion at one of your principals' meetings.
We have, and we do. So we just had it. Mr. Despard just had it last week. How time flies when you're having such a good time. So last week, it has been a topic of conversation at our principals' meetings, and we spent a lot of time with it in the spring. There was a lot of training for our principals that took place all of last year and then there was PowerPoint presentations that were presented to staff. This has been addressed.
One other quick comment. I know that there's been some challenges in the student services realm, and we have some new leadership there, and sometimes that makes a big difference, having someone come in with a fresh perspective who's going to look at things differently maybe than the person before. And I have full confidence that Mr. Despard will do that and that he'll really work with the sites to make sure that this discipline concerns that this teacher has can be rectified.
You say this teacher, it was a lot of teachers at all different sites. I just thought I would add that. That's all.
At an ARE meeting, when there's homage teachers with different, all the different schools get together, and when they all raise their hand for discipline is number one issue, I was in shock. I was just in shock. And so, and then you hear about all this. But I'm really happy that Dr. Mitchell told me, Dr. Despart, you went and the principals all said that they did go over it with all their staff, which is excellent. I know I asked a few teachers if they have if they received the discipline plan, and they said no. So I don't know what happened there. But
And then that would be information that to share with me, what school, what teacher, because I don't have the information that you have. It hasn't been shared with me. And so, and again, we have good lines of communication with our associations. So I don't have the information you have. I can't correct something that I'm unaware of. So perhaps you and I can have a follow-up conversation. Okay. That would be helpful.
As I said, if it's at an ARE meeting, I would think that somebody from the ARE would contact you. I mean, they're representing the employees. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think a board member necessarily would. Why I'm surprised that you're there. But,
yeah,
Beginning of the year only to say thank you for all that they do, and that's all. And I go at the beginning of the year. I do that with classified too. I went to their meeting. You'll see on my board comments. But apparently it is happening because Dr. Mitchell said she has been talking to Shay Lohman about this, and it always comes up discipline. So they are discussing it.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have any specifics. And that's, again, I mean, we just have a standing meeting with him yesterday, and there were no specifics that were discussed. I felt that when the meeting concluded that there was a level of satisfaction that what the interests were and the concerns were in the spring have been met. Conversations around discipline are, I don't ever think I've ever had a year in the 30 years I've been in education where that hasn't been a topic of discussion.
Of course.
I think I also wanted to note that many of our schools have their discipline, some of our schools, I don't know, I'd happen to do a full survey, but they're also available on the school websites. And there is always a plan in the school office. That is an expectation from a couple years ago. I'd spoken with the union, and the full safety plan, the big binder and so forth is available in the office and available in a location for every employee to look at should they be interested. So if an employee were to come to you and say, I don't know what's in there, it's in the office too if they would like to see it.
Dr. Mitchell, as a board member, I'm not at your principal's meetings.
Yeah.
But I would feel very comfortable if you would ask them to set a plan in action that they have a meeting with all their teachers specifically about discipline and come up with whatever plan they can for their school.
They did that. They did that. That was the expectation in the spring of last year. So we worked together. We gave them a template of a PowerPoint presentation of some information, and they personalized it and made it their own. Mm-hmm. The expectation was that they had a conversation at a staff meeting, and that did take place in the spring of last year, just to make sure, again, because there's new laws, there's new rules, there's new things that are taking place, and really to make sure that they understand what does the Ed Code say, what changes have taken place, what is the direction of the district, what are the steps that teachers can take and make, what are the steps that administrators can take and make. And so that's a great suggestion, and it was made to us to do that last year, and we did before the close of the year. We're able to do that. And then at the opening of this year, it was discussed again. As there was a single item last year, this year was a part of their opening business meeting. But.
Okay, so shall we conclude? We leave the policy as is? And
I was just seeking direction.
Instruction. We need to give the superintendent the instruction. Conclusion?
So Angelina doesn't want it, and I do. Mm-hmm. So you should ask how they feel, you mm-hmm. three feel, and then we'll know it doesn't go or it doesn't.
Yeah. No, I don't think we should write all that extra into the mm-hmm. policy.
The 2 weeks. The 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't think
Angelina,
it's necessary.
Leave the policy.
She said no.
I've already.
She said no.
Mr. Malkin?
I think you need to keep policy and procedure separate. And we're talking about policy. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks gets into procedure, and that's different.
Okay. That's three against one.
I agree with
one.
That, too. The policy is policy. procedure.
Right.
To
okay.
So we leave the policy as this. No change. Okay, let's move to the next item. Elite 8, need a motion and a second to approve the readmission of student number 17-18-04 to the Rolling Unified School District effective September 14, 2018 with a continued placement at the ALP program.
And
the motion.
Second.
Move. Angelina, second. Discussion? Questions? Comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So we can't.
Next item is consent calendar, and we approve all the items in consent unless there are any items pulled for a separate discussion and action. And there's nothing pulled, so need a motion.
Need I a make motion? A motion.
Engineer Lam?
I'll second.
Donna Freeman? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Conference session. Board comments. We start. Donna.
Hey, okay. Good evening. Before I start, I wanted to say I really enjoyed giving out the awards, and Santana's presentation was wonderful. Those two students spoke so good. And when I go and visit that school, I ask the students, what do you like the best? How did you change? How come you're doing so good? And it's always the staff. The teachers care about me. And so I know that everything they said was true, and it's a really good feeling. The report, the budget report, Mr. Flores and team, thank you very much. It was outstanding. Please check out my Twitter page, Donna F for Kids. I take lots of pictures of where I have been around the district. I just hit over 2,000 tweets. I love bragging about all the wonderful things going on in our district. Since the last board meeting, I have attended several events, ROP board meeting, several back-to-school nights. All schools had many families attend. Most classrooms were filled with families. Principals did a great speech before the back-to-school night started. Some had their PTSA meeting. The classrooms looked fantastic as the teacher spoke about their program and their expectations. Some schools had students walking around to help parents find classrooms or answer any questions they might have. Overall, back-to-school nights were outstanding. I attended the Walnut City Council meeting and bragged about what's happening at Roland. The textbook review, again, Melanie Montgomery, teacher at Nogales High School, explained about the two books. I already mentioned that. And also the other teacher, Rodney Donahue. I went to the ARE Rep Council meeting and the CSEA first chapter meeting barbecue. Roland High School, yet last night, had their hotspot distribution. This is a great grant called the 1 Million Project Foundation. Sprint is supplying all these devices. Students were able to receive a free device that has high-speed internet access so they can use it at home for research to help them in school and homework. As students received their hotspot device, the smiles were priceless. Dr. Brian Huff was in charge of this project, and the technology department helped tremendously. The presentation by Brandy Miller was outstanding, explaining what is taught at each grade level. She also said guidelines are very important, maybe establish time limits. Then at the end, she explained how to turn it on and went through the steps as she explained everything about it. This was such a wonderful thing. Dr. Mitchell was also going around helping students with their device. A thank you to Sprint for giving this wonderful opportunity to our students. I'm looking forward to Roland's Day at the Fair tomorrow. How exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna Lynn.
I'm second tonight. Wow.
And the last, your last.
To board members, I want to tell you that Ms. Friedman and I are working on the handbook, although slowly. We're trying to make it our own. And I think our common goal is to get everything into a format that we can bring it to the board at a board meeting to have you approve it, or maybe before the board meeting so you can approve it and see what you think. And then at our workshop in January, we'll maybe show it to Luann and let her know what we did with what she started. And I think we'll have a really good handbook for us. I've started my campus visits. Mr. Flores and I went to Roland today, and I was able, we kind of got stuck looking at the building and, you know, what they're doing, and they're really coming along. They're you've seen all the steel frames now for the theater building, and it's coming along. We went to classrooms, not as many as I'd like to have, so I'll be going back to Roland again. We didn't make it to Killian at all, but and part of that was my fault because I had another appointment. I'm still looking for those goals up at the back of our room, Dr. Mitchell. I think I miss it when I look over there and there's nothing on that wall. I look forward to a successful year this year. I took to heart some of the comments that Mr. Harrison said, and I feel with the plan that we have started that our students will be much more successful this year and in years to come.
Short but sweet as always. Went to a few back-to-school nights, ate a lot of tacos at the taco vendors at the meetings, which I appreciate that they provide food because then I can just go straight after work. And I still see a lot of enthusiasm on our campuses, which is what I enjoy the most and appreciate the most, is that everybody just seemed really excited and really truly happy to be at their sites. As Ms. Friedman said, we had our ROP meeting with lots of things going on there. And then I did want to thank Alex again for Mr. Flores again for the presentation on the audits. And in regards to some of the public comments that were made about the test scores, I look forward to our study session and hearing the full data on everything and how more specifics on how our students are doing at each school site or in each grade level. Because I think that we have to break down the data and not just run with assumptions by looking at it as a whole. So I look forward to that. And Mr. Huff always does a really good job doing that. So I'll be looking forward to that study session. And again, I'm excited that the school year is off to a good start, and we'll see you all next week at the college fair and at the football game coming up.
Mr. Milken?
The two students that we had that spoke from Santana, I really feel that was an eye-opener. Based on your presentation you gave with the welcome back, like I said earlier, in order to teach a student, you have to know the student. And I was a little disappointed when she said that she felt left out at Roland High, but then when she got to Nogales, she felt more accepted. I'd like to be more curious as to what was happening at Nogales that made her feel more accepted there versus Roland. But it just shows that if you provide the right opportunities under PBIS, that any student can achieve and obtain their dreams. She wants to become an attorney. What more can you expect? So I really am really grateful that those two students spoke. Want to congratulate Dr. Mitchell on her recognition this weekend. Also want to congratulate Tammy B., Roland Elementary. She got recognized this weekend for starting a K-Kids Club for her fourth grade class. It's the second K-Kid club within Division 35, which is a very large section of what they call Kiwanis Division. And to have the second one is really quite recognizable. She's working with the kids already, starting their new projects. She had a social today, and her first meeting will be next week. And she's collecting projects for them to do. I want to thank Dr. Huff for doing the Sprint 1 million modem and the IT department for getting all that set up and getting those distributed and purchasing, for getting the purchasing all done. I was really impressed. But I spoke to the gentleman over at Nogales when he was there from Sprint, and he said, after 5 minutes looking at Dr. Huff's presentation, he said he knew he was going to get it. He said it was so far ahead of every other presentation that he received. So it's really, I want to thank Dr. Huff for that. County Fair tomorrow. We got a large parade, about 12 to 15 entries. And Nogales Marching Band will be there, and some of our schools, and some of our Key Club kids, and Interact kids. So we're going to have a big parade there tomorrow. And five of our Title I schools got approved for funding for up to two buses. Gina Ward submitted that grant, and I heard that getting five out of seven was really one of the most achieved in any district. So thank you for that. And I think all 19 of our schools are going to be participating eventually at the learning centers down there. And finally, for any of our Jewish families or kids, happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. That's it.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to congratulate all the FCCLA area recipients, and I want to thank you, Mr. Flores, for the your hard work and your team. And I want to congratulate Dr. Mitchell for receiving the honor from the Roland Chinese American Association. And Dr. Mitchell, as Mr. Flores has humbly shared her credit to everyone. The report to the students, the parents, and actually, Dr. Mitchell, you have the most of the credit. We do get some, but you are. And I attend the distribution of the hotspot and Nogales High School and Rona High School, and it was amazing. So many kids can't afford the internet. At home, and we're very helpful for them to complete the homework. That's education is equal, so no matter how financial situation with the family, they should receive the same level of education. So that's amazing. The foundation, 1 million foundation, distribute so many hotspot and helping so many kids. And I want to thank you to Dr. Huff and they call him the father of the project. So yeah. Yeah, so that was a very, very excited moment for the kids to receive that hotspot so they can do their work at home. I attend the IQ Academy board meeting, and that's the telephone conference board meeting because Academy is our charter school. They don't have a physical location. The kids are working, taking the class at home. And the board meeting, just like ours, and there was a routine. But one thing, they have the Virtual Academy Teacher Association. Since the board meeting was held in the morning, 8:30, so many teachers was teaching, they cannot attend the board meeting. So they come up and speak up and says they want to ask the future meeting move to some other time so all the teachers can attend. So that is the, I wanted to share with the with everyone. And I'm looking forward to join the county fair tomorrow, and that will be a big event for our marching bands and our kids and for us too. So looking forward to see everyone there. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So next item is a joint meeting. Oh, are we going to back session? No? Okay. So I need a motion to adjoint the meeting.
I make a motion.
All right. Second. Right. And the MBA can second. And the discussion? If you say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Meet, join at 8:09. Thank you. Yeah, I estimate 8:30.
You said
8:15. Are they 15? I said 15. Yeah, all right. That really close.
You said 8:15.
Yeah, good. I should check it longer than.